Chapter 30. Does it matter? On Sunday evening, February the 1st, Verity went with the Bryants to the special talk at their church in Amber Hill. Walking into the building with Peter, she marvelled at the building itself, which was huge, modern and beautiful. There was a large meeting hall in the centre that could also become a gymnasium and many Sunday school rooms off to each side. So many people must go here, she thought. Can they really all be wrong? How could she, one little person with a Bible, be finding fault with the teachings of a huge church like this? She was no one special, still just a teenager, and here in this church were pastors who had trained for years in theology. A feeling of intimidation washed over her as she followed Peter up the rows to find a seat. As they sat there quietly waiting for the program to begin, Verity started thinking back on what she'd read in the Bible. Was there ever a time when the majority of people were right? She remembered how over and over in the Old Testament the majority of people had disobeyed God. In Noah's day, only 8 people were saved in the ark. With the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, only Lot and his 2 daughters escaped. Of all the Israelites whom God brought out of Egypt and tested for 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb were the only adults which left Egypt to enter the Promised Land. It went on and on throughout the whole Bible. So many of the prophets that God sent to his own people, Israel, were rejected by them, sometimes even killed, because the majority of people hated hearing what God had to say. Then in Jesus' day, huge crowds of people had called for Christ's crucifixion. The Jews were people who claimed to follow God. They read and studied the scriptures. They trusted that they were God's chosen people. Yet they killed the Messiah that they were all waiting for. There were only a few faithful followers at the foot of the cross, and even they didn't understand why Jesus had to die. With somewhat of a shock, she recalled to herself that it was the Jewish religious leaders, those who professed to know the Old Testament the best, who were instrumental in putting Jesus to death. Verity recalled Mr. Simon's words about checking everything he said with the Bible. She remembered how he had talked about the Jews one night, and explained that they had volumes upon volumes of their own writings and traditions, which blinded them to understanding the truth in the scriptures. How easy it is, she thought, for people to give up their responsibility to think and instead put their trust in those they consider to be the experts. A person would have to have a strong desire to find the truth in the Bible in order to put in the effort to search for it. Peter nudged her arm, and she became aware that he had probably nudged her a few times. What were you thinking about? He laughed quietly, his brown eyes teasing. You were a million miles away. She gave her head a little shake and said, Let me show you a verse. Already? Peter questioned, exaggerating his astonishment. The talk hasn't even begun yet. I know, she smiled as she flipped through Matthew, but you asked what I was thinking about. Finding the highlighted passage she was looking for in chapter 7, she pointed out the words of Jesus to him. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the way, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Looking very puzzled, Peter asked, And what does that have to do with anything? Before she could explain, she noticed that the program was about to begin, so she just whispered in his ear, I'll tell you later. The sermon was interspersed with lively, upbeat singing. Verity was surprised to see drums and other instruments. In her old church, there had only been an organ. Tonight's program was true entertainment, and she realized how attractive that would be for many people. The pastor did show many scriptures throughout the talk, but they were the ones Mr. Simons had discussed with them already, so they didn't prove the Trinity to her. Over and over, the pastor referred to the Trinity as a mystery that would only be perfectly understood in heaven. However, she said clearly that anyone who didn't believe the Trinity was degrading the person of Jesus by not exalting him as a God. Therefore, they could not be counted as Christians. Finding a small scrap of paper in her Bible case, Verity wrote a little note to Peter. Mr. Simon says if you believe in the Trinity, you don't see the victory Jesus had over sin. If he was God, then he couldn't be tempted. So his overcoming sin and submitting to death would have been more like an Olympic champion winning a race against a child. It would be simply a given, not an incredible feat. Peter nodded thoughtfully and wrote back on the other side, I never noticed before just how many times the Trinity is referred to as a mystery. Verity returned, If it's wrong, then it certainly doesn't have any chance of being understood. When the sermon was over, the congregation rose to sing a hymn. Scanning the words in Peter's hymn book, Verity decided she couldn't participate. The phrases in the hymn were exalting Jesus and the Holy Spirit as God. That was not what she believed was true, so how could she sing them as praise to God? Peter, however, had sung these hymns since he was a small boy and joined right in with his nice tenor voice. Verity pointed to one of the phrases, but Peter just looked at her and shrugged. The prayer made her uneasy too. There were several references to God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit being one and the same. How could she join in worship with someone who was praying to a different God than she believed in? Would God be pleased with a prayer that praised him for things that weren't true? On the way home in the car, Mr. and Mrs. Bryant had a lengthy discussion about how good the evening's talk had been. This left Verity and Peter a chance to chat privately in the back. She didn't need to say a word to Peter about how she felt. By the look on his face, she knew he had sensed her discomfort. Verity, he appealed in a hushed tone, I know that hymn was saying things about God that I'm not sure I believe anymore, but... He stopped, trying to think about how he could explain. I've done a lot of thinking and praying and reading these last few weeks, he carried on quietly. I've come to realize that at least a few of my beliefs have been wrong. But my parents, they'd be so upset with me if I were to leave their church. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, Verity began, quoting Jesus' words. Peter sighed. I know that quote, and I know you've done that in your own life, but I don't think God cares so much about what we believe as how we act, how we live our lives. This didn't sit well with Verity. Peter, she exclaimed in a half-whisper, why wouldn't you want to know what's true? I know how important honesty is to you. Why wouldn't you want to tell others exactly what God has said? She looked at him with great concern. The Bible has been given to us by God, a God who says he hates lying. Don't you think he would want us to be extremely careful not to misrepresent him? Pondering this for a moment or two, Peter at last shook his head. I think that God is more concerned that we live a good life, that we honour our parents and are kind to our neighbours. God doesn't want us to fight and argue about what he said or hasn't said. Verity was perplexed. This was a change in attitude. What had caused Peter to feel this way? Is that what you'd like to believe? She asked quietly. Or have you come to that conclusion from reading the Bible? Peter looked at her blankly for a few moments. Okay, he said, a grin spreading on his face. And where would you turn in the Bible to prove to me that beliefs matter? She smiled, admitting, I might need to do some research on that one. For a few minutes they sat in silence, gazing out of the window at the traffic speeding by. Verity was trying hard to think of a verse to answer Peter's question. Where had she got the idea that beliefs mattered to God? Was there a passage somewhere that would prove it? Opening her Bible, she began flipping through the Gospels, scanning the pages quickly. Peter leaned over to see what she'd find. At last she came to John chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, where Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman who was very confused about what she should believe. Here was a verse. She pointed out Jesus' words to Peter. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Not bad, Peter commented with a smile. But Verity could see in his eyes that this was a very serious issue to him. After another period of silence, he spoke with a low voice so that his parents wouldn't hear. Verity, this is a huge step for me. It's one thing to realize that some of my beliefs have been wrong, but to leave the church that my whole family attends is major. I'd need to be convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt in order to do that. When they reached her home, Verity thanked the Bryants and reached over to open the door. Peter suddenly jumped out and ran to her side to help her out. She was quite thankful, for the weak feeling had come again, and it was so embarrassing to fall. Noticing that she was limping slightly, Peter teased, "Verity, this is becoming a regular occurrence. If you don't go to see a doctor soon, I'll have to drag you there myself." "I just have a weak leg, Peter," she said, colouring slightly. "It doesn't seem to be getting any worse." "It is worse," he said, with concern in his voice. With a grave expression, he said, "You're limping now? I don't remember that happening before." She opened the door and promised, "I'll go to the doctor when things slow down." Then she added with a little smile, "But that may not be until school is over."